Numbers 13, did I say 13? Numbers 13. And as we read through this, you would be familiar with the story, but there's a few things I want to point out. Well, actually, just before we read the scriptures, actually, I'll give away the heading. I'm going to talk about fear this morning. And there's a quote or a saying that says, fear is the thief of joy or the robber of joy, you know, fear. And it's true. It is. When you're fearful about something or a situation, it does rob you of that joy. And, you know, because you're so caught up in whatever might be going on, and that joy or that happiness diminishes, and it can be quite consuming at times. But there's also the flip side of it too, where fear can be used in a good way. You know, we have fear. The Lord's built it in to us to protect us. You know, if you saw a situation where you thought, you know, there's a pretty steep cliff face right there, I better not go any further, it's a bit scary, you know, it's a good thing, because, you know, you don't want to get too close, or maybe a snake or something on the side of the road there, you don't want to tempt that, you sort of just slowly move out the other way, because that fear or that adrenaline kicks in, and it's sort of like this built-in mechanism that Lord's put in place to know that, well, there's danger there, I better slowly move to the other side of the walkway or whatever to get out of the way. And there's also the fear of God as well. Which is good and healthy. So there's sort of, I guess, two types of fear, all right? But the one I'm going to talk mainly about, I might touch on the other fear a little bit at the end if we get time, but is more about this fear that can stop us doing things and, I guess, stop us serving the Lord, you know? When fear creeps in, stops us from doing something, or can stop us going about God's will or serving Him, because the fear of something failing or not working out can stop us doing those things. It can consume our minds, and it can sort of like paralyze us in some sort of way when it grows and grows and grows, or we feed that fear. And so it isn't a good thing when that is sort of happening in our minds. And if we read this story here, we'll see a little bit about that, and I guess a couple of different approaches to the situation. So Numbers 13, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." So this is the spies, the Israelite spies here, to go and search out this land that they'd been promised. And there's 12 of them. I guess heads of the tribes or whatever, tribe of Reuben, etc. I won't go through them all, but there was 12 guys to go out and spy out this land for Moses, go check things out, this is what's promised to us, but yeah, go have a look first. And we'll go to verse 21, and it says, "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath." And we'll skip down again to verse 25, so they searched the land at this point. Verse 25, "And they returned from searching of land after 40 days. So 40 days out searching, checking things out, and they returned back to the tribes there and to their people. And in verse 26, "They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan." So we've gone and checked out the whole place, 40 days, we've gone to all these different spots, and here's a bit of the fruit of the land, you know, and it does flow with this milk and honey that was promised to us. It looks pretty good. It's a pretty good place, you know. And they won't go into this barren place. They'll go into the land that they were searching out was as promised, and it looked really good. And in verse 30, it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And there's this guy, Caleb, here, who's just like gone and seen it, and he's full of enthusiasm, and he's like, this is awesome, this is great, let's go now, let's not wait, straight away, let's just go and get it, we're well able to come it. Yeah, there's a few obstacles that the guys have mentioned, We can get past that, though, because this is the land the Lord has promised, and let's go at once. I don't want to wait. I don't wait anymore. I want to go and partake of this land and do what we have to do to get it. In verse 31, we'll read the response from the others. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And there's the other guys there, not Joshua, there's the other 10, who they did see the same thing, but they were focused on the obstacles. They could see the problems, and maybe they were all good at the start, but just maybe that last night before they go back, they're just thinking, this looks pretty tough. I don't think we can overcome these giants or these people. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. It doesn't seem like a good idea. I think we're a little bit, it's going to be more comfortable, more easy if we stay where they are. So they brought up an evil report. They spoke about the bad things that they had witnessed and saw. And in verse 14, so they're saying this in front of the people, and all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. As you probably would. You're looking forward to this promised land. You probably had enough of where you've been. And Caleb's, let's go and get it. And then the others brought up this evil report, and it obviously affected the congregation, the other people. And verse 2, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So things have gone from pretty bad to worse. Caleb's come back with enthusiasm. The other 10 guys have brought back this evil report, and it's affected the congregation there to the point where they're like, "Let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. These guys, Moses and Aaron, what are they doing? They're leading us down the wrong path here. We'd prefer to go back to Egypt and, I guess, be in that slavery rather than die." And they completely had lost focus on what they were there to do, and obviously the promise of God there, to the point where, so I just read out, they wanted to go back to their old lives. But in verse 6, Joshua stands up this time with Caleb, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." And it's inspiring, and it's great to see that two guys were still hanging on to the promise of God. Two guys were prepared to stand up and say, "No, don't be persuaded by these reports, these evil reports, these reports that aren't right. Rather, go back to the scriptures, go back to the promises that the Lord had given us. This land is great. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for our family. It's going to be good for the upcoming generations. Let's go and get it. And let's not fear the problems that are in front of us." And at the end of it, at the core of it, it was this fear. It was this fear that was stopping the other guys, the other 10 guys, giving a good report. It was fear about the problems. They were focusing on the problems, the situation, rather than the promises of God. God had said, we might read it later in Exodus, that this was going to happen, that this promised land was going to be for them. And Caleb and Joshua were referring to that, and they weren't letting the fear get in the way. And maybe inside they were a little bit fearful, might have been a little bit fearful, like, ooh, does look big, does look hard. No, the Lord can help us, the Lord can help us. And they're just maybe pushing that aside and focusing on the things of God. And that was coming out. And sometimes in our life, you know, things are going to happen and it can be fearful. And we can inside feel a little bit of fear there and a little bit of worry there. But we keep going back to the promises, don't we? And we let the promises of God override that and not let the fear, I guess, dominate our minds or force us to sort of start going backwards, because we need to keep moving forward to inherit and obtain the promises of God. So Joshua and Caleb didn't look at the situation with their own eyes. They didn't trust what their eyes were seeing and their brain was telling, but they looked at the scriptures and Lord's promises, and they put that ahead of their own thoughts. There is fear when there's unknowns. When there's unknowns, there's fear. I mean, you get on an aeroplane and you sort of think, okay, there's a pretty good chance I'll be okay. You know, this, you know, not many, how many planes take off every day? There's not many crashes in comparison. So there's probably a 99.9% chance I'll be okay. But there's this small chance, this small unknown that it might not be. And that can cause a little bit of fear for some. I know I don't like catching aeroplanes too much. But it can be a little bit of fear there because there's a little bit of an unknown. Or it might be something else. I mean, you leave today, you jump in the car, you get home every day or from the meeting every Sunday or whatever, but it's a little bit of fear there that, hopefully the weather stays good. There's a little bit of unknown. But you seem to push it aside because you do it so much and it doesn't seem to affect you too much. So when there's unknowns, there's a little bit of fear, and there's, I guess that's what these guys are thinking of. But with the things of the Lord, there isn't so much of an unknown, because the promises of God are there telling us what's going to happen, telling us that things are going to be okay. So we don't need to fear, if that makes sense. So these guys, these 10 guys that brought out the evil report, they weren't thinking about the promises of God. And this unknown was really growing into a big thing for them. Whereas Caleb and Joshua, even though there might have been a little bit of fear, to them there wasn't any unknowns, because they knew, this is a promise of God to obtain this land. He promised to have this, that would inherit this land that flows with milk and honey. So to them, there was no unknowns. It was a promise of God. They were trusting in that. And it gave them the confidence to stand up in front of all these people, outnumbered, to say, nah, this is us. This is for us to inherit, and the Lord's going to be with us. So they attacked the fear with the promise of God. And that's what we need to do, don't we? Attack this fear with the promise of God in prayer, use the scriptures, go forward in that way. Does anyone watch Bluey here? Looking at a few parents nodding their heads. If you haven't seen Bluey, it's a good little show. These cartoon characters, dogs, and they... you learn it. I actually learned a bit watching Bluey too. It had some good little parent things going on in there too. But anyway, there's a cricket one. And there's a character who really likes playing cricket. And he has to face this bowler who's really fast. And he's scared. He's fearful of this cricket bowler because he's bowling really fast. And he gets some advice from his dad saying, well, you got two options. You can be scared. You can step away and back away, or you can get inside it and hit a pull shot or hit the ball. And that's exactly what the character did. And we're always going to have an option. When a situation arises in our walk in the Lord, when there's these giants or these problems in our life, we're going to have an option. And you can either step back and be consumed by the problem, or you can attack it with the scriptures and the things of God and step inside and up. Step inside God's sanctuary. I'm going to pray to the Lord. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to combat this with the promises of God and knock that problem out of the park with God's help, not on our own. So that's what Caleb and Joshua were determined to do. If we go to Deuteronomy 31, so we'll keep going over there. I'll read it while you're turning there. I'll read the promise in Exodus. So in Exodus 3, it said, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So that's the promise that Joshua and Caleb were referring to back in Exodus. This is it. This is what we're seeing. Praise the Lord. Let's go get it. Deuteronomy 31. So Joshua, that's not going to help. Deuteronomy And we'll read from verse 1. And it says, "And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day." It's his birthday. "And I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you." Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear them not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And here's Moses here encouraging Joshua. You know, "I'm not going. I'm not leading the people in this land, but you are, Joshua. You are." And he's giving some encouragement here. He's encouraging him to be of good courage, be strong. The promises, you know of them. You know, you would have saw the good report he gave back in the day there. And he's like, "This is it. Time's coming. You're going to have to lead these people through it. But you're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be this leader, and the people will follow." And the same with us, isn't it? We've got to be strong. We've got to be courageous. We've got to be, I guess, that the leaders of the Lord's gospel. Because if we're not proclaiming his promises and we're not sticking to that, no, people are going to be lost. They're not going to find the way. They're not going to find their way to the promises of God, which we have found. So we've got to be strong. We've got to be courageous. We've got to stick to his word. And when things come upon us, we've got to know that Lord is with us to guide us. As it says in verse 8, "Lord is he that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." That's an amazing promise. He will not fail thee. He will not fail thee. It's 100% success rate with the Lord. It's amazing. And he goes before thee. He goes before thee in the situation, in the fight. And I remember Pastor Wayne Edwards saying, I just saw it stuck in my head. It's funny how different things stick in your head over the years, but he'd say that when he'd go for a job interview, he would just sort of had this thought in his mind of the Lord just going in before him, before the interview, before, you know, what he was going to do or whatever, and just think, yep, the Lord's there, he's with me, and just sort of, I guess, visualise in his mind the Lord is going before him to that situation. Obviously, it was quite stressful for him, and he said it would just be blessed, you know. Obviously, having that thought, it would just bless the situation for him. So it's a good thought to have, isn't it? When we get up in the morning, just think, yep, got to tackle the day, but God's going before me. With everything I do, God is before me, and with him on my side, I will not fail, and it's a good thought to have. So, also in verse 8, we'll go to Joshua 1, just over the page. So Deuteronomy, then Joshua. Ask him about that. Ask Pastor Wayne if you see him about his testimonies with that, and see what his thoughts were and how things turned out when he used to do that. Well, that's pretty cool. Joshua 1. This is the bit about the man himself here. In verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto the this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, therefore in day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And we've heard that over and over and over, haven't we? A little bit about be strong and of good courage. And he's encouraged earlier from Moses about doing this. Be of good courage. And then Moses is gone. He's off the scene here. But the situation's still the same. You know, maybe he was really looking up to Moses, and Moses was his inspiration, obviously the Lord as well. But he's gone now. You know, Joshua is left to lead the people, but the Lord hasn't left him. He's got the Lord to go to, the Lord to look upon, and here's the Lord encouraging him here. All right, the time's coming, Joshua. You need to do this. And he's saying the same thing. Be strong. Be of good courage. I'm with you. Whether you go, whatever you do, whether you go, just tackle the problem. I'm there to help you, Joshua. I'm here to help you lead this people. I'm there to help you conquer this land that I've promised. And it's an amazing encouragement. And it's said over and over and over, be strong and of courage, because I think over time we do need that encouragement. We forget. We do forget, don't we? And I think it's good to just hear this. Yes, reminder, be strong and of courage. I need it. I need to hear that. And you know, you might be going good for a while, then you need to hear it again. You need to hear it again just to remind you or let it sink in that Lord is with you. We just got to be courageous. We've got to just take those steps when the situations arise and know that he's there to lead us and guide us. It also says in verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And if you meditate thereof and just observe to do what's written, you shall be prosperous. And we've got the Word of God here, don't we, to guide us. And if we stick to that, and if we look to the Word of God and we put our faith and our confidence and trust in that, we will be prosperous. We'll be prosperous in the things of God if we don't sway from that, from His Word. And that was what the Lord was saying to Joshua. Stick to my Word. Stick to my instructions. Just simply do that. Be strong. Be courageous. And if you do those things, those simple things, you'll be okay. And it's advice for us, isn't it? Stick to God's word. Just follow his ways, what's his instructions to us, and be courageous enough to do them and follow them, and we'll be okay. He'll lead us through those landmines, through those problems, through those difficulties that we may face. All right, let's go up to the New Testament now. We'll go up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. So yeah, I reckon Caleb and Joshua are there. Inspiration for all of us, isn't it? Aren't they? And there's lots of characters. I mean, King David's another inspiration, you know, fighting Goliath there. That would have been quite fearful for a, I don't know, what was he, 15, 16-year-old teenager there coming up against this man of war. But he didn't let the fear stop him from advancing. And all those other guys, the Israelites, no one wanted to face Goliath. They were fearful. And fair enough, I probably would have been in the crowd being fearful as well. He's a pretty big dude. But we'd want to inspire to be like David and have that confidence and have that, I guess, no fear like David did and approach a situation with confidence, with the promises of God and overcome the situation. And that's what he did. And that's what we want to inspire to be like. And as we read through your favourite Old Testament stories, inspire to be like those guys when those situations come across them. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Lord knows that we're just human. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians here. These are spirit-filled people. And he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, any much trembling." So Paul has spent a bit of time with these spirit-filled Christians, with these Corinthian group, and at times there was people that were weak, they were in fear and in much trembling. So they're going through stuff where it caused them to be in this state. And Paul saw it. He said, oh, I was with you through those situations. And saying earlier, you know, it's not always a bed of roses. Things can be tough. And even though we're spirit-filled, we are still human. And things are going to come upon us where we're going to feel that fear or that weakness or that much trembling in our lives. And Paul was, I guess, alerting to that, acknowledging that will happen. And he goes on to say in verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he's, I guess, talking about his speech a little bit or you know, his testimony, but he did reflect on, in verse 4 and 5 here, about the power of God, and that our faith needs to stand in the power of God and in his wisdom, not in the wisdom of men. Because the wisdom of men, I guess, they might mean well. They can add to that fear a little bit, because they don't have or understand the power of God and his promises. So, yes, they can do some good things, you know, people out there, of course, but they don't understand the promise of God. And you've got to put the promise of God and what he says above, I guess, what man's wisdom is, and put our faith and our confidence in the power of God. So, I don't know, maybe their weakness and their fear and stuff like that might have been influenced by the ideas of men. But when we put our faith and confidence in the power of God and his words and what he says, stir up the spirit, our mind can shift and that fear can start to diminish. All right, so we are flesh, but as we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we've got the Spirit to help us. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So God knows we'll have struggles, but he's given us a tool to help with that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 6. Again, this is Paul, and he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I love that. I love that verse. It's probably something you've heard a lot. It's true. In verse 7, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, to fear, to be afraid anymore. But he's given us the Holy Spirit, which has enabled us to have this power, this love, and a sound mind through our situations. Is that what we're going to focus on? And we need to stir up the Spirit. As it says in verse 6 there, where I've put thee in remembrance, brethren, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up. Stir up the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit when these situations come upon you. When you are feeling like your mind is getting a bit consumed with this fear, the best way is to get down on your knees and pray. Stir up the Holy Ghost. Think of the promises of God, because he's given us the Spirit to help combat those fears that are going to come upon us in the flesh. God's called us. He's called us to be one of his own. All right. And he's called us. He wants to look after us. And that's amazing. Amazing being his family. Just like, I guess, a parent would want to look after their kid if they were fearful about a situation. The parent would give them encouragement and tell them it's all right. Now they can see the bigger picture. They can see that you can get through this. You know, they've got experience or whatnot. Well, we've got the Lord who's got the experience that you know, we can never imagine, and he knows what goes before us, what's going to come in front of us. So who better to go to? It's obviously the Lord himself. So stir up the Spirit. It's inside of us as a tool to help combat this fear. And in return, we'll experience this love of God, the power of God, and a sound mind. That's what you want. When you're going through a tough time, when things are quite fearful, you just want a sound mind. You just want to be at peace with the situation. And when we stir up the Spirit of God, that can help give us that. Don't go there, but in 1 John, if you're taking notes, in verse chapter 4, sorry, in verse 18, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, most perfect love we know of is the Lord himself that died for our sins. And perfect love casts out fear. So the Lord wants to get rid of that fear and that torment in our lives. He wants us to be happy, rejoicing, courageous Christians. Because as it says, fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, fear can be really debilitating. So we want to try and squash that, push that aside as much as we can. Let's go to Psalm 56. I was going to just quote a scripture as we turn there too. From 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, and it says, as it is written, eyes not seen, nor he had heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So that's for us. Just like Joshua and the Israelites back there was this promised land afar off that they had to look forward to. And the promises of God was driving Caleb, was driving Joshua, and not letting fear get in the way. And it's the same with us. We need to look ahead. We need to look ahead like we just read, was I just quoted there about the promises of God. Things that God has in store for us is amazing. It's out of this world. And we've got to let that be our focus and that be our vision and not let fear or problems get in the way of us obtaining that. So Psalm 56. I'm not there, sorry. I was going to tell you a little story. Before I read that, I'll tell you a little story. I joined a gym and I had to do all these different gym classes to get this package. When I joined the gym, there was this little package on the wall that says, if you got a little like coffee card thing where you got a stamp, and it said, if you do all these classes, you'll get this little package. And I thought, that's pretty good. And I had to the end of the month to do it, or 30 days to do it. I thought, that's all right. I really joined the gym to do a few sort of stuff in the weights room and use the pool. But I thought, if I get this little package that had a visor cap and a drink bottle and a few other things, it was the visor cap that was really driving me to get it. There's a few things in this towel or whatever. And I thought, if I do all these things, it doesn't cost any extra. I'll get this package. That's pretty cool. Easy. Doesn't cost any more. But a few of the classes I had to do weren't my thing. And I thought, especially the last one, I had to do this class where I had to get in and do some aqua yoga with a whole lot of ladies that were probably twice my age, nearly. No, maybe not quite twice my age, but a lot older than me. And it was a bit fearful. It was a bit fearful to get in there because I was the only guy. I was the only guy in this class. But what was driving me was this package. If I do this class, because it runs out the next day, I get this package. And that was driving me. I was focused on the prize and not what, you know, the situation was. And I did the aqua yoga, and it wasn't my thing, but I did it. It was a little bit relaxing at times, I thought, but I got out, got my stamp, and I got my package. And I think sometimes, I was just reading before that, quoting that scripture, we just got to be focused on the prize. And there's things that are going to come upon us that are going to be fearful, but we're focused on, no, I'm going to attain that prize. I'm going to push through whatever I need to push through to get that prize. And with the things of God and living forever and ever and the promise that he has in store for us, it's well worth pushing through the fears and the things that come upon us to obtain the eternal life that he wants to give us. Praise the Lord. He's not going to make you do any aqua yoga classes like me, but other things will come upon that we have to push through. So Psalm 56, verse 2, it says, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And it's a good Psalm of David here. And I like what it says in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When there's times that I'm afraid, I will turn to you, Lord. I will trust in you. That's the best time to trust in the Lord. Obviously, we need to trust in the Lord all the time, but especially when you feel afraid or when things are coming upon you that can make you feel fearful. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in him. And as it says in verse 4, God, oh, I praise his word, and God, I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And he just has confidence. Okay, whatever happens in the flesh, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to fear about that because I'm putting my trust and my confidence in God, that he'll work it out for me, that he'll sort the situation out for me. And when we do that, that's applying faith. And as we know, our faith in God, when we put our faith and confidence in him, that's rewarded. You know? It says elsewhere, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So put our trust in him, especially when we're afraid. That's when the Lord can do something, and we can obviously enjoy the benefits of those acts of faith. Psalm 118, while we're in Psalms, I just want to read a few little Psalms as I start to look to wrap up. Just one verse here, Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What could man do unto me?" That's an amazing verse, isn't it? The Lord is on my side. He's on my team. Romans 8, it said, "Is God before us? Who can be against us?" So the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And if you have that in your head every day and you're confident with that, you know, it's really going to help you, isn't it? Just knowing and just understanding and having that sinking that Lord is on your side. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear what man or what others can do unto you because God is working with you and for you. All right, one more Psalm, Psalm 34. All right, Psalm 34, verse 4, it says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." I love that. I sought the Lord. I got on my knees. I sought the Lord. I prayed to him. I looked to him. And he heard me. He heard my prayers. He heard my requests. He heard my cries. And delivered me from all my fears. So from the fears, the things that were consuming me when I was praying to the Lord, as I sought him, as I looked for him, I had this confidence that he heard me. And he was able to deliver me, give me a peace of mind from those fears, from those problems. You know, it wasn't just, you know, this situation with David here, one fear. There was fears. There was lots of fears. Sometimes that's what happens in our walk too. You know, it might not just be one thing. It might be a few things from all sorts of different directions and lots of fears. But the encouragement, as we just read there, is to seek the Lord like David did and have this confidence that he hears me. He hears me now. When I pray to him and I talk to him, he does hear me and he's able to deliver me from all my fears. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, we'll go down there. It says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." And as I said, there's those two different sort of fears. And I guess that one is more like the respect or having this acknowledgement that the God's there, okay? Fear the Lord and have this healthy sort of fear towards God, if you know what I mean. I mean, before I came to the Lord, I would call it maybe a bit of a healthy fear. I wasn't no way was I saved, but I guess I had this sort of bit of a general respect for the things of God, and maybe some of you did as well. But especially now that we are saints, you know, we've got to keep respecting the things of God, keep respecting his word, and I guess have this healthy respect and this healthy fear towards the Lord. And as it says, if we keep that up, like we are, and like we have been doing for many years, there is no want to them that fear him. You know, the Lord will give us what we need. He will help us through those trials, through those tribulations. Praise the Lord. It says elsewhere in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," or the beginning of knowledge. So if you really want to grow in wisdom and knowledge of the things of the Lord, keep that fear and that respect up. Keep going to his word. Keep praying to him and being about his business like you have been doing, and you'll grow in wisdom and knowledge in his ways. Praise the Lord. So just to, I guess, conclude this morning, don't let fear stop you from growing and being more established in the things of God, because it can cripple you. We've got to push that aside like Caleb did, like Joshua did, like David did, like lots of people did in the Bible there. They pushed that fear aside, even though it might have been niggling away at them on the inside. They will seem to be able to push that aside, rely on the promises of God, because God is there to bless us. He's on our team. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We can testify of amazing things done in our lives. So keep looking to him, his promises, and not let fear get in the way of stopping you obtaining the ultimate goal of eternal life with him. All right, I'll leave things there this morning.